Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. You're joining us for episode 628 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. This week, we're sharing news about what's been going on in our lives, as well as our featured topic. But before we get into that, we should introduce ourselves. For our silent key Russ, K5TUX, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD. And yes, good welcome. Good morrow. Good...
Good something or the other.
Yeah. One of those things. Yeah. That's we just recorded the other day. So it's almost as like deja vu. We were just here.
We just did this. Yeah.
So surely not much has changed in the last few days, but we'll just make a quick round the horn to see what's been going on over these past few days. And we'll get right into our fancy feature topic for this evening.
Yeah. Yeah, so in my world, I haven't cooked anything because it's been far too hot. I've not really done anything on the computer except for paying bills and doing probate stuff. The radios are still in Russ's shack, beckoning to me, but it's just not quite there yet. And otherwise, Argentine ants are driving me absolutely bonkers. A few weeks ago, they shorted out our well, so I spent the better part of a day without water. Yesterday, it was our HVAC unit, and the repair agent finally finished the repair well after midnight last night. So my brother owns his own pest control business in Atlanta, so he spent an hour explaining to me the many annoyances of these ants and told me why I can help keep them at bay. There's no way to get rid of them completely, which was not what I wanted to hear. But I guess I'll just cope and deal. And live with them for the rest of my life.
Yeah, so there's rumor that ants own the planet and we just rent. So,
pretty much. he was telling me about this like huge complex of Argentine ants that like run up the coast of Spain and over into Italy, and it's just one big nest.
Nice.
I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, thousands of miles. I was like, oh, great. He's like, yeah. So he's like, you're probably sitting on one great big huge ant nest since they're all over the place. And therefore, just killing off one little tidbit of them is not going to do all of them in. And I was like, that's not what I wanted to hear. So he's like, sorry. Yeah. So what's been going on in your world?
The usual, nothing. I do nothing all the time, I swear. Not much has been going on. We still haven't got the truck working, so that's a nice thing. It's still broken. we did try to do some new patching today, and now we're into looking through the dark web at this point to find our missing data files that we need to finally patch this thing. Otherwise, we got to buy a tune file from Canada, which we'll probably get screwed.
Great.
But I have been keeping my ear out to the news. I heard that ICOM at the Ham Fair released the real design of the radio that they demoed, or not demoed, but like the plastic cube box with a screen that they had at Hamvention. It is, yes, indeed, a replacement for the IC7100. It's the IC7110, which is a welcome update and design change. So I'm sure everybody has perhaps seen it by now if you are a fan of listening to that kind of information. So check that out. I mean, I don't think I'm replacing my 7100 anytime soon, but if I were looking for a rig that did the shack in a box type thing, that's definitely looks like a nice rig, clean interface. And they got rid of the stupid angled screen like we have on our 7100s. So welcome changes there. And as well, we had a real news flash, the RIDI news flash is coming in here. I just picked this up off of Tom's Hardware earlier, I believe this morning or maybe it was last night. I emailed myself it. So this is the California lawmakers unanimously pass Linux exemption from age verification law. And Cheryl, why don't you go ahead and read the text for all that?
Okay, thanks. California's legislature has passed Assembly Bill 1856, exempting open source operating systems from the state's Digital Age Assurance Act months before the law is due to take effect on January 1st, 2027. The Senate amended the bill on August 21st before passing it on the 26th in a 39-0 vote, with the Assembly then accepting these changes in a concurrence vote the following day. The amendment ends almost a year of uncertainty surrounding whether Linux distributions and SteamOS would be forced to collect user age data during account setup alongside Windows, macOS, iOS, Android. Yeah. AB 1856 has now been sent to Governor Gavin Newsom, who signed the original act into law last October. These amendments redefine the term operating system provider to include any person or entity that distributes an OS or an application under, quote-unquote, license terms that permit a recipient to copy, redistribute, and modify the software. Any software distributed under the GPL, MIT, BSD, and the Apache licenses satisfies that test, which removes the likes of Debian, Fedora, Ubuntu, Arch, and the BSD family from the 1856's scope. A second exclusion removes software components that aren't offered to consumers as a standalone executable application through a covered application store from the law's definition of an application, covering libraries and dependencies distributed through package managers like apt and Pacman. AB 1856 doesn't explicitly say that the repos aren't app stores, but a store's main obligation under the law is to request an age signal from the user's OS provider and pass it to developers. An exempt open source OS produces no signal. A third carve-out excludes storefronts distributing extensions or add-ons that run exclusively inside a host application, which takes browser extension stores out of the scope. And the source for this was, as Bill mentioned, Tom's Hardware.
Yeah, so this is a good news. At least it provides, you know, where the source of some laws come from, which is the state of California. Because how California goes, no matter how crazy and ridiculous, you know, it tends to affect things. Same things when, you know, we have like the EU and GDPR and stuff like that come into play. So this is nice to see that we actually have had some lobbying and some legislation to kind of clean up the language of this, to refine it. And hopefully, I don't know if we're out of the woods yet. We'll have to wait and see. But this is definitely good news for Linux. And we don't have to worry about switching to very specific standouts or holdouts in the Linux software area for a non-age verified operating system. So yeah, good news all around. Excited to see this pop into the news feed yesterday or today. Can't remember. So must have been yesterday. Well, anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. That is a news flash topic that we just wanted to include. I thought it would be good. And we probably won't be back to short topics for a little bit. We've got a couple episodes kind of planned over the next couple of weeks. So I figured we'd go ahead and squeeze a news item in now, and perhaps we'll squeeze one in next week as well. But yeah, let's get on to our feature topic. And tonight's feature topic, this was actually found by Cheryl for our last episode. She put it in as one of the news items. And I thought, you know, this is actually an interesting topic. And perhaps we'll give people information about it. So we decided to make it a feature topic to kind of dig into it a little bit and kind of see what's out there. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about games that are designed to improve your knowledge of the Linux command line interface and more. So these are all going to be centered around, you know, various scenarios of either solving cyber crimes using Linux to do that, and all along the way teaching you command line utilities like, you know, grep, ls, find, cat, and stuff like that, as well as other utilities like ssh and many things, many other things, including sometimes shell scripting languages and whatnot. But we found a nice list here of some interesting games that you can play, and some of them are command line based, and some are not command line based. Well, yeah, some are command line based, like, you know, via secure shell, an SSH terminal, or they are based on the web, where you can actually just go right in and it gets you a virtual terminal on the web, which is makes it simple and easy to use. So you can try this even without a Linux computer or utilities to get you secure shelled into the various games. But we're going to go over a list of games and kind of a little bit about them, or a list of websites that have the games. And we'll start first with Cheryl. Why don't you read us the first one?
Okay, so the first one is called Over the Wire Bandit. The focus of this one is networking. So you'll learn all about SSH alongside the more typical lessons on find, grep, and ls. Each level requires you to SSH into the next host using a password you can discover with various means at your disposal. Everything starts off straightforward with the password contained in a file you can just print, or a file you need to locate based on the properties, as two early examples. Later on, however, you'll need to diff files, understand cron, and work with Git repositories. Each step provides a list of commands that may be helpful, with links to online man pages. There's also linked help from a host of useful sources, so there's a lot to take in across the game's 34 levels and a lot to learn. So, and this is a free classic terminal-based war game where you use SSH and basic Linux commands to find hidden passwords and level up. Most users on Reddit agree it's one of the best tools for absolute beginners. And this information came from Over the Wire, which is the creators of the game. And the link, of course, for all of these games will be in the show notes.
Yeah, and I tried this one. It took me a while to get started because I was trying to remember offhand how to force the port on SSH. So that was like the first thing. I was like, okay, do I do the colon 2022, I think it was, or something like that? and then I found out no, it's dash P and then the port number, and then I was like, oh, I have to use Bandit Zero to log into it. So yeah, it took me a little while, and like that's the whole point. It teaches you how to kind of just even just get started. You know, just using SSH was a barrier to entry on this particular game. Because I'm used to just SSH into my own boxes, so very rarely do I worry about even putting a username in, because I have the same user in all my boxes. Right. So, yeah, very, very interesting start to this game, and I found it kind of fun just getting started in those first few levels. So, check it out. It's pretty neat. The next one here is Command Line Murders. Now, this one sounds really fun. It's hosted on GitHub. This repo is nothing more than a set of text files pertaining to an unsolved crime. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to comb through the evidence and work out who done it. An active imagination will work wonders. It may sound easy, but there are hundreds of files in the repo, and you'll be on your own at first, although several hint files are included. And a handy cheat sheet in Markdown and PDF formats covers the core of the file manipulation commands you'll require. The main skills you'll learn here involve navigating files, searching through them, extracting irrelevant snippets of data. It may not sound fun, but the underlying mystery works well to keep you engaged, and the difficulty is set perfectly for beginners. And this, you'll find a link to it in the show notes. This is a GitHub repo that gets you right there, and you can download the whole repo, obviously, as you can GitHub, git clone it, or you can just download a zip file and Yeah, I think you'll have fun with this one too. Anytime you're looking at extracting data and stuff like that out of a bunch of files, I think that's a fun way to use various utilities. I didn't play this one, so I hadn't got to it yet. But I would assume that you can expect yourself to use cat, awk, sed, and all those fun utilities that are all tongue-in-cheek, jokes and stuff like that for many sysops that use awk, grep, sed, and all of the fancy tools and switches and buttons and search utilities that are built into those that allow extracting data from large data sets quite easy. So command line murders, check it out.
Here, our next one is Command Challenge. This game runs on a web page with an emulated terminal that lets you type commands interactively. Each round pits you against a fairly simple command challenge, like copying a file, removing all files in a directory, and so on. Of course, these tasks get progressively harder, and each one has a single-line solution, so experts should proceed fairly quickly. As with many Linux tasks, there's more than one way to get the right result, so you can learn a lot by checking alternative solutions once you've cracked each problem yourself. Some steps have gotchas, like a task to create a directory and a subdirectory in a single step. These will teach you about useful options for commands you may already know, just not in as much depth. And this came from CMD Challenge.
Yeah, so check out the link in the show notes. The next one is a Linux Journey. It's a series of 19 interactive modules. Linux Journey is more of a textbook than a video game. However, its coverage of the most important commands is excellent, with plenty of examples to copy and try out. Usually, these include programs for further learning, like help and man. One step even covers the lesser known what is command. I always like those, and which and stuff like that. Each lesson answers common questions and includes a quiz question to check your understanding. There are also exercises for each linked to the labs on the LabX platform, which uses virtual machines to provide an interactive learning environment. Although the wider platform is a subscription service, you can use a handful of the labs each day for free, and this free tutorial series is released under an open source license. So definitely check it out. This kind of reminds me of there's one for the Rust programming language that kind of walks you through, and you sort of program at the same time as you read through the manual. And I'm almost thinking it's like, it's the Rust book or something like that. Or something. I can't remember. But it's very much the same kind of way, where it's like, it's a textbook, but it has interactive segments throughout the textbook. And they're actually quite fun to actually go through. Not very much a game, but you could kind of consider them gamifying the learning of this particular information. So yeah, check out that. It's linked over here on the show notes via LabX. So check it out.
Okay, and our next one is HackerRank Linux Shell. This set of challenges is focused on shell scripting, but will also teach you key commands, including cut, sort, grep, and awk. Each problem requires you to write a script in the site's text editor, then run it to test your code against the requirements. Core syntax features of Bash are all covered here, like loops, comparisons, conditionals, and functions. It's a little tricky for absolute beginners, but anyone who's written a shell script before should be able to hone their abilities by working through the problems. The editor that HackerRank uses is Microsoft's Monaco Editor component. This gives you syntax highlighting, code folding, and smart autocomplete, all in a themeable wrapper. It's basic, but very fast, and includes all the modern features you need to craft your scripts in comfort. And this came from HackerRank.
Yeah, that looks really cool. This next one's really interesting. It kind of reminds me of like an MUD. This is Terminus. Terminus is a terminal-based choose-your-own-adventure type of game where you use Linux commands to go on an adventure inside the command line. It's developed by some students at MIT. The game is designed to teach players about command line interfaces through an engaging and interactive gameplay experience. The game includes various locations and items. To go to locations, you have to use the CD command. For interacting with items, you have to use the less command. To check what paths and items are in a location, you use the ls command. You also have to use the pwd command to see where you are currently. That's the present working directory for those of you playing at home. I like how the game has some graphical images to give you more game-like feeling, something you usually don't find in many terminal-based games. This is obviously the author's verbiage of this. The graphics show the location of where you currently are and the items or persons you are interacting with. If you love adventure games, you'll love Terminus, no matter how proficient you are with the command line. As a cherry on top, you can learn to use several important Linux commands by playing the game. And that's the whole point. And that's linked in the show notes here. And it's to MIT. And I love it. You go right to the main page and you're basically dumped to the new game. It says, welcome. If you are new to the game here, here are some tips. Look at your surroundings with the command LS. I'm just going to type in LS. Ooh, and it gives me a graphic on the right, and it has locations, Western Forest, Northern Meadow, MIT items, and welcome letter. So, yeah, you can kind of explore from there. That's pretty neat. I love the interface. It's fun. Terminus, so check that one out, too.
All right. Our next one is Bash Crawl, and it is similar to Terminus in the sense that both are terminal-based choose-your-own-adventure games. The setting is similar too. You start at a location, interact with items, go to different locations, and explore your surroundings. Everything's done through Linux commands. The more you progress through the game, the more commands you learn with their arguments. The game felt more engaging because it had a lot of commands that perform different activities in the game. For example, you can use the export command to add items to your inventory and check your items using the echo command. Unlike other games on the list, Bash Crawl has a lot of text files called scrolls. These files contain the basics of how to use each command and what they do. So you're not only learning through playing, but also the concepts behind each command. You can get the game from the linked GitLab repository or play it online in a Jupyter Notebook instance. However, the online sessions may feel disruptive, sometimes due to connectivity issues. So I recommend downloading the source file locally for the best experience. And this is, for more info on it, it says Bash Crawl is a text-based dungeon crawler game that runs directly in a Unix Linux terminal. You navigate directories as if exploring rooms in a cave using standard commands like cd and ls. And this, of course, is through GitLab.
Alrighty, and the next one is I was trying to find a way to play it without buying a license, and for some reason I don't see how you can do it. So yeah, well, we're just going to mention it anyway, but you might not be able to actually play this game. This is the one I'd be really interested in playing because it's called Vim Adventures. Vim Adventures has only one person to make you an expert at using Vim. or VI for those of you that prefer the not the improved version. In case you didn't know, Vim is a popular text editor that also is notorious for being difficult to use. No, it's not difficult. The reason many find it difficult is that it's fairly terminal-based. Moreover, you need to know specific commands to operate it. Yeah, okay. Vim Adventures is a 2D adventure game where you can only use Vim commands or controls, shortcuts, and commands to play the game. The setup is like an adventure puzzle game. You move through the mazes, solve puzzles, collect items, talk to people, and so on. The game is effective for practicing and memorizing different Vim commands. You start with four buttons, H, J, K, and L, for moving around the maze. By progressing through the game, you'll have to collect other keyboard buttons. I liked how the game forces you, this is again somebody else's comment, I liked how the game forces you to learn each Vim concept visually and through its key binding so that you don't miss anything. The base game is free to play. Okay, online in your browser. There are also options to buy licenses. Buying licenses unlocks some of the extra perks, such as extra challenges to train your muscle memory. If you finally decide to learn Vim, give this game a go. You'll love it. So, yeah, I'm just going to go back in there. Let's see. Click here to reconnect.
Yeah, I was able to get to like the first level without paying for it. It says, I just Googled it. It says, it's free for the first few levels, but then requires a paid license around $35 for US for 6 months of access. And then there's Vim Genius, which is a free flashcard style web game for practicing keyboard shortcuts. Mm. And Vim Tutor, a free interactive command line tutorial that comes pre-installed with the Vim text editor.
Interesting.
These are other things that came up when I typed in Vim, so...
Cool. So there's some other games out there as well. So yeah, I just started moving the little doodad character around the screen. So that's, interesting. What's next on the list here, Cheryl?
Next on the list is SAD servers, and it's billed as like Leet code for Linux. This contains a number of individual time troubleshooting challenges that are similar to hands-on SRE interviews. Pros to the game: realistic scenarios that make debugging fun. Not aimed at beginners, the challenges touch on advanced topics. Challenges require you to use tools that help you understand Linux at a deeper level, which you rarely get outside of a real-life context. Cons: the UI isn't great, and you have to wait a while for instances to launch, which spoils the immersion. Some of the challenges are obscure and don't clearly communicate a teachable idea. Overall, there's strong and weak points to each of the games. For complete beginners, Bash Crawl is a great way to start, and after some fluency on the command line has been reached, Command Challenge and Bandit could be used to expand one's repertoire. After that, Command Line Murders could be considered a fun final boss to the Command Challenge. And finally, SAD Servers is a less game-like but still exemplifies the more difficult end of the spectrum of acquiring Linux skills during or through play. So that covers like everything we've discussed so far. So we've got a few more games.
Yeah, so I was just exploring the SAD servers, and they have various scenarios of the SAD servers. The SAD, get it? SAD.
The SAD servers.
They're so sad. They're broken. They need you help. They need you help and fix it brokey. So yeah, they have stuff like Linux and Bash, web servers, you know, doing Nginx, Apache, HAProxy, Caddy, Unicorn, and Micro WSGI. Databases, Postgres, SQL queries, data processing, Docker, so building images, multi-stage build, Kubernetes, infrastructure as code, observability, that's like Prometheus and Elk and stuff like that. Tooling and applications, RabbitMQ, Vault, Harbor. Man, I could really use some Harbor help. I've seen that crash way too many times. Hacking, capture the flag challenges, and languages in general, Python and stuff like that. So you'll get presented with a list of various things and how long it generally would take you to work on something. So you got like easy, medium, hard, and then Kubernetes playgrounds as well. And it kind of tells you what the type of problem is, whether it be something you're supposed to do or something you're supposed to fix, and how long it will take. And some take as much as 10 minutes to an hour to more than an hour, depending upon what the problem is. And you pick one, and let's see here. I'm going to just pick one real quick just so I can see the scenario. Okay, so you have to create an account. So anyway, I won't do it right now because I'm not going to create an account yet. But yeah, you do have to log in, so it saves your progress on stuff, so you can start it and stop it and stuff like that. So yeah, check out SAD servers. It looks kind of interesting for doing that stuff. Let's see here. We also have a couple of short ones that came into the list that we didn't get long descriptions for, but we'll mention them both here. I see Cheryl's adding some notes here for those Vim,
yeah, these,
Vim Genius and Vim Tutor.
Yeah.
We'll get those linked into the show notes as well. But this is, so we got the World of Haiku, which is a gamified cybersecurity-focused platform that teaches a real-world Linux command line operations, file management, and networking basics through a structured lessons. So again, it is like a tutorial-based interactive learning. The other one is Linux Survival. It's a gentle, browser-based, interactive tutorial split into short modules and quizzes that teaches core command line navigation to complete novices. So even if you're not a novice, some of these are kind of fun. And this Linux Survival one looks like the website was made in, a long time ago. I was just waiting to see some blinky text and scrolling text in there. Yeah, your mileage may vary with any of these, but I think it's an interesting way to learn command line utilities is through games. And I know we always get a lot of questions and like, how do we get back to basics and how do I get started and items like that. And hey, games, that's a great way to get started. You can learn all about fixing problems within the side of the context of a game than having to do it on your home because you decided to deploy Nginx and wasn't familiar with how to actually work a proxy server in your own home or on the cloud inside of a droplet. So yeah, this kind of gives you an opportunity to see things that need to be fixed that you have to kind of tinker with beyond just, you know, initial configurations and stuff like that. So any one of these would be kind of useful to prop up, I would say most, if not anyone, to a little bit higher level, because, you know, even though I've been in the industry for many years, you know, I sure in hell haven't ran into every problem that's out there. So, and then some things are very language specific or specific application specific, where, yeah, if you've never deployed it, but you're using something similar, you might not have run into issues or might not have run into configurations and stuff like that. And it gives you an opportunity to see something and fix something and learn something. So I think all these are kind of cool for that.
Definitely. I can't wait to play with some of these. So since I definitely need to learn about Linux a lot more than what I know. So.
Well, that does bring us. Oh, so go ahead.
As you were saying, I know enough to be dangerous right now. That's it.
That's so, I think that's the way we all are. We're all a little bit a little bit dangerous when it comes to using Linux. Even if we use it on a daily basis, which you do all the time. I mean, it's your daily driver.
And, yeah, it is.
For the most part, I'm using it all day, except for when I'm doing work stuff. But that brings us down to our list of Linux stuff. And I think next week we're going to talk about ham radio stuff that games that are very similar that help you learn ham radio skills or ham radio, you know, testing information. Like think about like flashcard games and stuff like that. We have a whole list of things that we have found on that. So if you have a special game that maybe we haven't heard of for ham radio and a ham radio skill, or that'd be Morse code or propagation or logging or what have you, send it our way and maybe we'll include it in our big list that we mention on the show by next week at info@lhspodcast.info. And that will get us down to, hey, our announcements and feedback. Cheryl.
Alrighty then. So as always, we need help supporting the show. You can do that via Patreon, PayPal, merch, sharing the podcast via social media, and rating us in your podcast application. We always need feedback, comments, questions, show topic ideas. Email us at info@lhspodcast.info. And as always, there will be a memorial service for Russ at our home in Mount Vernon, Missouri on November 1st. Everyone is welcome to join us. If you'd like more information, pop us an email at info@lhspodcast.info or check the show notes and there's a Facebook event page set up for it. So
cool. And we did get one piece of feedback over the little between times. Actually, I think we got this before the last episode. We just missed adding it to the list. But this one is a feedback from Justin, KE2GHU, Golf Hotel Uniform. And he writes, I just discovered this sweet piece of software, SDR Oxide. And would be interested in hearing Bill's opinion of it. Personally, my mind is blown. I'm just adding the voice there. My mind is blown, and I only just discovered and downloaded it an hour ago. My understanding is that it's available for Windows and Mac, but is natively built for Linux. And I had no issues whatsoever installing it on Mint, which was refreshing. Yes, and I believe we have mentioned SDR Oxide. Check out our Weekender episode that some people skip. There was a nice long discussion of AI-based software that's coming out. And, you know, I've started to collect these now. I have, I think I have enough to kind of do a featured topic episode on at least 6 or 7 specifically AI designed pieces of software.
Interesting.
And we can go over together why they're all the same. We're not talking the same features and stuff like that, but why they're all the same and why they're so noticeably not not human created.
Right.
Beyond prompting. And it's not to say it's bad. I'm not going to say it's bad. It's fine. But there are so many that are doing exactly the same thing and they all look exactly alike. It's amazing because I know they're being prompted by different people and probably different requirements, but yet I see visually the same piece of software being recreated over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So, and then the website that goes with it is also exactly the same. So, you'll just have to tune in for that that special episode and see if you're on the naughty list.
Nice.
I have looked at SDR Oxide. I haven't plugged it into an actual SDR. I will, though. I'm going to try out all these pieces of software so I can have a comprehensive discussion on exactly why I do or don't like them. So I haven't made up my mind yet. But I am saying one thing. They're all the same. They all feel the same. They look the same. There's zero creativity in them besides trying to solve all the problems. And again, I tell you to go back and listen to the first part of The Weekender. Even if you hate Weekenders, go back and listen to the first part of The Weekender where we discuss the piece of software that has been written to solve all the problems in ham radio. And you'll just get it from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have a short list of subscribers and supporters because we just had an episode that we recorded like 3 days ago. So not much has changed, but Cheryl, go ahead and hit us up with the list.
All right. So we have a Mastodon follower, and it's Marin TKL at Mastodon. And live show participant this week was Mike K6GTE.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for joining us. And he's been really quiet in the chat room, so we don't know if he's really here.
I don't think he's here.
He's definitely been connected. Oh, he's typing now.
Okay,
he's coding. You're supposed to have the AI bots do it. You're just supposed to be watching them.
Yeah.
Just start them and then just watch them. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Mike. And yeah, no fun. No kidding. Hopefully we'll have a nice list and have some feedback on this episode to build out the next one. So next episode will be our discussion on ham radio games that will help you learn more about various techniques in ham radio. So I'm excited to hear some feedback from you all. And if you have some feedback about command line utilities and games that teach us command line utilities or various things within Linux or Kubernetes or something like that, that would be of interest to the crowd that listens to this podcast, which is growing because, we just saw a 26% increase in listens over the past 30 days. So apparently somebody has been finding us in their lists. So we're excited to hear from you. If you're a new listener, please reach out and tell us how you found us. And that way we can try to propagate more noise out in those areas so people can find us easier. I mean, we've only been around for 18 years, so it's not like we've been hiding here. No. But we appreciate every listen and every like and every comment that you can put out there in your various podcast apps. So please do that. And Cheryl, why don't you go ahead and get us on out of here?
Okay. Well, that brings us down to the end of the show. Thank you for listening to episode number 628. You'll catch us next time with our second part of our featured topic, which is going to be ham radio games. So we will talk to you then. For us, K52X, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1909-547-7469. That's 1909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.